Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm here with Surreal Joel Quinn. Normally, we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, but we got a different flavor tonight, a different program as we begin our entrepreneurial series. Of course, it shows that we involve business-related topics. I am certainly glad to have one, Adrian McDonald, who is the founder of All Calculated Measures, here to join me. Adrian, how you doing today? How you doing this evening?
I'm good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No problem. I've been excited about the idea of getting into entrepreneurial, having entrepreneurs on the program. I'm just excited to have somebody who owns or has a black-owned business, and I've been promoting your way of gear and clothing over the past couple of weeks to various outlets and platforms. I'm just certainly excited to have you on the program. Of course, Adrian is the founder of All Calculated Measures. You've seen me post t-shirts online in terms of my YouTube on my YouTube page, and I have the sweatshirt on right now for my YouTube audience. Of course, we are simulcasting this podcast on YouTube and also Blog Talk Radio. But if you're on my YouTube audience, you can see the All Calculated Measures, the crown. And this is certainly this was provided by Adrian's company, and certainly has gotten a lot of positive feedback. How did you start off in this business? What got you into wanting to design clothes and t-shirts? What got you into this business to begin with?
Oh man, excuse me. It was a journey, man. It was nothing I saw happening. I never would have thought that I would try to monetize this, but just through life, some experiences, a few business partners, a few ups, downs, a couple failures, it was almost like a journey, and I'm at my calling. The fashion is the vehicle I will use to begin, but it will be much bigger and much greater. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But from a previous business venture, which was in fashion, I love fashion. I've been around fashion my entire life, just from growing up with my mother and my sister. They're very fashionable. What they used to say growing up, every day was a fashion show when we were going to school. So that's kind of where that just one point always looking good came from. It was kind of like a competition. And so just bringing it up to today, a business venture I'm with now, I have two other business partners in another business venture. In the fashion lane, and I wanted to find something that I could do that spoke to me, because I was just behind the scene building someone else's brand. And so what happened was I wanted to find me, because I felt very comfortable in pain. And so just people in my ear, talking to my brother, talking to and I came to the stylish/slash image consulting, but tell you more about a lifestyle that I'm selling.
So when you say this is like the tip of the iceberg, this is you don't see yourself into the fashion, into the clothing, say 5-10 years from now. You think this is just a starting point for something that you don't even know about moving forward, or that you are currently working on.
Okay, I'll say this. My dad planted the seed about legacy and being able to pass on to the next generation. What I want to do, and what is, I don't want to jump ahead of the conversation, but it's about building economic empowerment, specifically black economic empowerment within my family, with people who I can literally just call on the phone or I can reach out and touch them. I feel if we as a family can have a blueprint as far as how to help each other, promote and put each other on, you can build a circle of what I'm trying to do is build a circle of millionaires, starting with my family. We're all helping each other. I'm promoting your brand on my page or on my platform, and so on and so forth. So my brother's a part of my team. My cousin's a part of my team. It's really about building black economic wealth. And from there, the sky's the limit. But the fashion, as I said, is just the vehicle that we're using right now. Being that, of course, I've been exposed. I've been in that world for some time. Yeah, I want to do a lot more. I have another company under the All Calculated Measures, and that's kind of like a brother-sister brand, but that'll come later. But right now, we're focusing on the All Calculated Measures. And it was more, like I said, a lifestyle that I was selling, but I'm going through the branding process, so I'm going to have a series of branding campaigns. And so the merchandise that you have is the logo, what I call the logo campaign, and we're just putting it in your face because I want you to, when you see this logo, you'll recognize it, you know it's quality attached to it, and you know that it's a good brand that you can trust.
What's the bigger challenge, breaking into the business or trying to incorporate your family?
I say the first part again. I couldn't hear you.
With breaking into the business, trying to get your foot into the business, or trying to incorporate your family, or how do you go about incorporating your family? As far as who,
that's a toss-up question. That's a toss-up, depending on the day of the week, really. it is really, really hard. You have to really want in any business venture. That you can see the vision. No one else can see it. So you really gonna have to make sacrifices. The way I got into the fashion industry was because I partnered with someone who kind of had his own thing going, and that's how I found my way. I kind of had to go through that. Take some of the bumps, some of the bruises, learn the industry, and then I came back, regrouped. I said, okay, I want to attack this now. On the other question you asked about was being a family in, and that's just as challenging because this is where you're going to have to draw the line between family and business. And you can't blur those lines. The first 2 years of me putting this together was my brother and I just going back and forth over the logo. And when I tell he just got, yeah, he was just like, I'm done with, like, it's very intense because this is something that's representing you. So it has to be correct. It has to be right. It has to be the way that you want it. So, we were back and forth, man, like I said, for 17 years, and he was just like, man, I'm so over this. But at the end of the day, the joy and the fulfillment we got out of creating something, taking it through the process, the trademarking, the LLC, doing all of that to now you're seeing it. So that in itself, that whole process was it was definitely stepping stone, learning steps, and it's gonna test you, see how bad you really want it. And so I'll say this as far as family goes, the people that you connect with, you guys gotta be on the same page as far as your energy, the vision. Everyone knows the direction that this is going. So I only have maybe 3 or 4 family members really involved in it. Everyone else is on the sidelines, cheerleading pretty much. But as far as putting in the actual work, yeah, I can count on one hand. Because most people just, by the time the t-shirts and the sweatshirts came out, everyone was asking, oh, what t-shirt, where's my sweatshirt? Of course, not putting in any work. They just want the finished product. So you're going to have to be able to draw that line between, you know, the business and the family part. But neither are easy.
How did the name All Calculated Measures come about?
Oh, man. That's a story in itself. Everything has a backdrop. But as far as that, I knew I wanted to. My mother and sister passed away some years ago, and I knew that I had to do something for them in their name. I always knew this. I just didn't know how I was going to express it. Once I got into the fashion situation, I thought about it. I said, okay, I want to name my company, but I wanted to really connect. And so I just took my initials, the A, the C, and the M. First initial from my first name, middle name, and last name. And so I probably came up with about easily 200 to 300 different names with ACM. And I was throwing them at my brother. We kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until we chopped the list all the way down to about, say, 5 to 10. And then from there, we chopped it down to 3. And then from those 3, we took the best one. But I wanted it to connect to my name, but at the same time, my fashion sense comes from my mother and sister. So it would all tie in. And actually, my dad is tied in into this as well. But my mother and sister, really, as far as the look and the fashion side of it, that's where my inspiration comes. My structure, my business, how I handle, how I move, how I maneuver, I get that from my father. And so it's really a combination of those three people, my mother, my sister, and my father. And me carrying on our family name, the tradition, the legacy, being able to pass this on to the next generation coming up.
There is a lot of clothing lines out, a lot of, you know, independent businesses. A lot of people are selling clothes independently with their names, and, you know, whereas hats, sweatshirts, shirts. What do you think will separate All Calculated Measures from some of your competitors out there? Like, why should someone purchase your property merchandise versus purchasing somebody else's merchandise?
Good question. Really, to go one step deeper, we're speaking on All Calculated Measures, but it's built on something. It's really the backdrop, the story that makes All Calculated Measures what it is. I have 3 pillars that I live by, and that's part of the All Calculated Measures, which is confidence, discipline, and consistency. Confidence is knowledge of self. Discipline is structure. Consistency is results. I had to use all 3 of those things in order to bring this brand to life. So it's more than just I'm putting on a shirt and putting on a sweatshirt. This is a lifestyle. This is how you should carry yourself. Proper business. I don't have anything against having fun. There's a time and a place and everything. As branding and me coming out, I wanted it to have a specific look, and that's where the crown comes from, as far as just taking it back to our history and Africa and everything. I wanted to be bold. I wanted to stand out. So I wanted to keep it simple, but I wanted it to be kind of loud, too, at the same time, in your face. And we had to create a balance. So All Calculated Measures is a lifestyle. the merchandise is just a vehicle to promote it, but All Calculated Measures is a lifestyle. If you were to become a client of mine, we would go down that road. And that is to create, maintain, upgrade your wardrobe, your style, all of that based on your lifestyle and your personality. Everything would be catered to you as a person. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm in the question. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so that's really what it is. It's more than just the merchandise. It's really a lifestyle. But confidence, discipline, and consistency, that's the bottom floor. If you don't get these three things in order or lined up, it's going to be hard. So that's what I'm trying to do, to give you the confidence, give you the discipline, and give you the consistency. We're just tailoring it to your personality and your lifestyle. So that's why this merch to me is out more or would, like you say, against any other brand that's out there. But I know I'm just starting and I have to prove myself and get the brand out. But this is, like I said, the bottom floor. So confidence, discipline, and consistency is what it's built on.
And I might be reaching here in regards to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say someone doesn't purchase your merchandise, but through their respect for those principles or admiration for those principles, they develop a relationship with you, and that can lead to them being involved in, say, other business ventures or making other connections. Is that something that you're striving? Is that something that you're trying to obtain as well? Not just the straight, all right, I'm making money off this particular merchandise. Is that something you're looking at long term, or am I reaching with that?
Oh yeah, I'm always looking to network. And by building this brand, I found people who I can network who didn't necessarily. They didn't want the merchandise, but they believed in my principles. They believed in the brand. They saw what I was doing. Like I said before, I also style. So I have a look at social media and everything, and I can give you the information. Once you see it, you'll get it. And I wanted to set it up to where as, hey, if you don't want me to style you, maybe you'll buy merchandise. If you don't want the merchandise, maybe I can style you. Or you may have ideas to take this to another level, or you may have a way to bring your brand in and we can partner up and do something. You know, so I'm always looking to connect and network with other brands. So that's how I found my videographer. So, yeah, I'm always looking to do that. Yeah.
What part does your brother play in terms of the merchandise? Does he somebody? We had a conversation about your brother before, and how he in terms of his role, can share with the audience. You know, some aspects of the company that he contributes to. We already talked about, with the brand, as far as with the logo that you guys were, you know, going back and forth with. What are aspects of the company does he handle?
Oh yes. Well, he's my right now. He's my graphics. He created my logo, and he does the music for that brand, for that logo. I also have another logo, but my cousin does the music for that. And this is me selling in and putting them on as well. So what my thing is, all I want you to do is what you do. So I'm not going to call you and ask you to do anything that you don't do. So that's why I knew it worked. So I knew my brother did logos. He's been doing music. He's been doing T-shirts. He's dabbled in covers, mixtape covers, and, you know, different promos for different artists that he works with. So he was already familiar with everything. So when I asked him about doing a logo, he already knew everything that I needed him to know. So all I had to do, I threw ideas at him, and just, you know, he'd bring me something back, and I say, no, let's tweak it here, let's tweak it there, or let's change this color, let's change that color. So he was very instrumental as far as putting the look together, as far as I had it in my head, but he executed and put it on paper. And then for the campaign, I just ran for the logo campaign for the ACM Lifestyle, All Calculated Measures, which is ACM Lifestyle for short. On the All Calculated Measures campaign, he did the music because he does music as well. So I started out, I already knew who I wanted to work with, which is my brother and my family. So I was already trying to figure out a way I could incorporate them and have them contributing to the project and also promoting them at the same time.
Nielsen did a report recently that the black community has a buying power of over $1.2 trillion. How can we get blacks to invest and to buy black-owned products, invest in black-owned businesses? It seems to be a major challenge considering how powerful the black dollar is. How can we get it to how can we get blacks to spend on other blacks and to invest into other blacks, black-owned businesses like yourself?
Yeah, man, it's a challenge, I'll say that, but I'm starting out like this. I can't say for everyone, but I'm starting out grassroots. So I basically wanted to build it from the ground up, kind of like word of mouth, selling T-shirts out the trunk, going to different, like, churches, schools, community, just different places. The people have to really feel a connection. And so I know you have the Gucci's, the Louis, and all these brands that, of course, they don't give anything back to the hood or to our people. My thing is to try to establish that connection. Like, I'm from here. You know, we're all going through the struggle. And I've given out free merchandise. So I've given out more than I've sold. So that's another thing that, as a businessman, you have to give some stuff out to just get the free promotion. And then hopefully that'll turn in your favor. I really don't have a formula or a straight up answer to say, oh, these black people are going to come out and buy your stuff, because people spend their money on how they see fit. But it's definitely a problem, but that's because I feel like it goes back to the self-hate, knowing who we are. That's a major part of it, because I don't want to support you because I really don't like myself. So I'd rather go and give this money to somebody else who doesn't look like me, but everyone knows his name, everyone knows his brand. So that is still a work in progress, but I'm just trying to connect with the people, and that's my approach. And like I said, I've given stuff out more merchandise than I've sold. But that's just a daily journey, a daily battle. That's not going to stop me though. But I'll take money from others outside of the black community. But of course, I want my people to buy this. And I am doing this for my people. This is why I'm doing this, to show them how you can be a black entrepreneur. These are the steps. No, it's not going to be easy, but you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it.
Let's say I'm 21 years old, coming out of college. would love to start my own business, whether it be clothing, selling, hats, wallets, whatever. What would be the biggest piece of advice that you would give to me, the most valuable lesson that you learned in beginning this journey, beginning this venture that has kind of carried you or gotten you to this point?
Really, the number one, actually there are a few, but knowing who I am, and that's a journey, that's been a journey, a lifelong journey, meaning comfortable in your own skin, not letting people force you or put, you know, pressure on you to do things that are uncomfortable to you. Knowledge of self, to me, is number one thing that you can have. Because to me, once you know who you are, everything else, the world will play off of that. Because you won't allow yourself to compromise yourself. So that would be my number one thing, would be knowledge of self. And that's different for everyone. I would also say building a team, because I'm in the middle of building a team, and I need people to do what they say they're going to do, dependable, not just here, you know, just dead weight. So I would say probably knowledge of self, having a good team. Oh, and business. You have to be business. You have to learn business. You know, you have to learn how to conduct business. Being on time, being punctual, crossing your T's, dotting your I's. These are things that in a black community, we're really not taught these things. So I would say those are my top three: knowledge of self, your team / your network, and that's ongoing. You're trying to build it, and it's trial and error, and being business literate. And when I say that, taxes and money, finances, all that falls under that.
You know, it's interesting that you say all that. I've been in education for 17 years, and I grew up learning through my cousin, who is a small business owner, and has been for the past 25 years. I learned basically 95% of my business attributes from her. Shout out to her for that. I didn't learn this, none of the stuff I learned in school at all. And I felt like I was well educated in a Commonwealth state, Pennsylvania, with the Temple University. And even, I grew up in the 80s, early, late to mid 90s. Even now, as I'm in 2019, been in education for 17 years, I don't see those things being taught in schools as far as business savvy and everything you just said about, taxes and dealing with just basic business skills. Like, you almost gotta go to business school, go to college to learn some of these things that probably should be taught in school. If you don't just learn them through somebody like yourself or just on the street, which is unfortunate.
Oh yeah. Were you finished? I didn't know you were finished.
No, I was done. Yeah, I was done.
Oh yeah. Well, speaking to, like you say, we don't learn these things in the black community, of course, because it's really not designed that way. And you said a key word. We're educated. We're taught by someone else, someone who doesn't look like us, someone who's not from our community, to go and work for someone who doesn't look like us, who's not from our community. So that's by design. Me growing up, I didn't have that many people I could go to and get any type of business or finance literacy, anything. I had to learn this, like you say, on the street, or I met someone along the way. when I got into the business venture with my partners in my other fashion business venture, that is when, and that was, say, within the past, say, 6 years, that's when I got it, because I was around people who knew stuff. I was a private silent investor or private partner. So we were handling all of the things behind the scene. So it made me really, really hone in on this. So every year we would do taxes. So I'm paying attention to all of this. I'm just learning, bro. So I know people are out there who have it to me, and I don't even know that much. But yes, this is by design. And no, they don't teach us to get our own businesses and how to apply for these small business loans and be able to put that money back into our community. Because most of the businesses in the black neighborhood, as we know, are people who are not from our community. We patronize them. They take that money and take it back to their community. So I think they say the black dollar stays in his community maybe 6 hours, 8 hours or something like that before it's gone. So everyone knows about money but us. So this is what I feel. Okay, I'm learning all these things about money and finances and taxes and everything. Okay, it's empowering me because now I have some knowledge. Okay, now I want to start my own brand. But by doing that, I know I can't do this all by myself, so I'm going to bring some like-minded people, and I do mean like-minded, because you can't just go and get, you know, your cousin Ray Ray or Junebug, because it's just not going to work. So like I say, you have to get people who are on the same page with you. And in the beginning, yeah, it's going to be a little tough. But like I said, me and my brother, we were back and forth for like 2 years. And after we came out of that, we had learned so much. And we really haven't even like done anything. But just going through the process, bouncing ideas, I'm telling him everything that's happening in the experiences I'm having on this end with taxes and my LLC. And, you know, just going through those processes of trademarking and doing things like that. So I was able now to share this information with my brother. We're building. Then I connected with my photographer. Now I have a videographer. So once it only takes one. Once you get your feet wet and things get to going, you're going to get a process. You're going to get a blueprint. This is how things should flow. This is how things should go. We should be doing this. That's when your structure comes in. Your structure is going to be very important, because things are supposed to happen in a certain order. And you need to be I have a little saying I use. Don't panic, but you need to have a sense of urgency. It's not panicking, but it's, I know this needs to get done by this time. So that's where my structure helps me come in. I've been in the military, so I kind of grew up like that. So the structure wasn't a problem. It was, okay, what do I want to do? Like, how am I going to express myself? How is this going to come out? And what's the best way to do this? And then who are the best people to have around me to build this? And like I said, I'm still going through that. But probably I have 4 solid people on my team right now.
What do you think is the next step for the company? What could we be looking forward to, you know, later on this summer, later on this year? What's up next?
Oh, yeah. Next, we are working on the next campaign, which is the Pillars campaign, P-I-L-L-A-R-S, the Pillars, which is the confidence, the discipline, consistency, confidence, knowledge of self, discipline, structure, consistency, your results. And so I have 3 campaigns, branding campaigns. So the logo campaign was the first. The Pillars campaign is next. we're finalizing the images and we're getting everything for that to drop probably sometime this summer. I haven't nailed the date down yet, but it will be released this year. And then I have another campaign coming behind that, and that'll be what I call the slogan campaign. So every time you see me, you'll know me for, you know, these, my pillars, my logo, and the slogan. So this is how I'm choosing to brand myself, basically. So just getting the name out there and letting people see it. And also by the end of the year, the website will be up. And the website will be acmlifestyle.com. So that's also coming. I'm working on that as well. And I've got some people I'm talking to, and we're pulling everything together. So small operation. I'm not in a hurry. I want it to be done right. And I'm just giving it all I got, man. It's been a journey, but I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, because everything keeps reaffirming and validating that. So I know I'm in the space I'm supposed to be in.
Well, we were talking earlier about some things that you would recommend to young, the dudes, to young entrepreneurs. Where are some of the don'ts? Where are some of the missteps that you had coming up, going through this process as you try to be, you know, attempted to reach, you know, get to where you're at right now?
Let's see. Well, in the beginning, definitely your finances and your money. You don't want to waste any money, because you don't have that much in the beginning, unless you have, you know, you get a loan or you got somebody sponsoring you or writing you a check or giving you a donation, which I didn't want to take any of that starting off, because I wanted to prove to myself that I could get this up and running on my own. So I had people in my family who supported me and who wanted to give me money, but I told them I didn't want it. I said, let me, you know, get it up and running. Let me prove to myself that I can do this. And I knew I could. And this is something that I had to go through. It was, like I said, a journey, something I wanted to do with my brother. I always wanted to work with him. I always knew that we could creatively come together and do something and put something out. So it was really more about the journey than anything. That's where the satisfaction came from. Like, yeah, I really haven't made any real money on this, but the feeling inside that I accomplished something basically from scratch, that is the greatest feeling ever. And being able to work with my brother. So I'd say, if I was giving advice to a young cat coming out who got all these aspirations and everything, is don't jump out the window with it. So just take your time with it. It's better to do it right than to do it fast, because all you're going to do is waste that money. So if it takes the time to get it right, just get it right, because you don't have you don't have a second chance to make a first impression. So I knew when I came out, I wanted it to just, yeah, be in your face, and yeah, it's solid. So I knew that. So and patience. It's just, yeah, you it's to each his own. It's what do you want your brand to look like? How you want to represent yourself? This is you. When people see this is you. So you really, to each his own, but you really have to put that work in, because it doesn't happen on its own. The attention to detail, the long hours, just the long nights. It never ends. Like when I leave here, it's just more to do. So you really gotta want it, and you really have to dedicate yourself, and you really, really, and it's easier said than done. You have to be disciplined. You have to cut out all of the, you know, the BS. And if you want it, the dream is not going to come any faster than you work on it. So as much as you put into it, that's what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah, question. before I let you go there, I want to I want you to get your information out there as far as social media, IG, Twitter, Facebook, so that you know, people can know where to find you. Certainly with the, I know you said the website and all that, but you have, you know, I know you have some things that you can also that you can present to the people as far as where they can contact you in terms of merchandise and things of that nature. And I, for my audience, I will post it on my social media platforms as well. So if you don't, you know, if you miss this podcast, hopefully you don't. But if you do miss the podcast, I will post it on my social media. So just you know, get the audience your information. You know, give you information so you can, you know, social media.
Oh yes, thank you. I appreciate it, brother. Yes, I can be reached at Facebook, Instagram, and I'm on YouTube. And my handle is ACM Lifestyle for all three: Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. ACM Lifestyle. They can all also email me at acmlifestyle@gmail.com. And I have a phone number as well, 301-892-6301.
Adrian, yeah, thank you for joining the program. Again, a lot of not only business lessons, but, you know, some life lessons that we certainly can take from the process of you know, becoming an entrepreneur, the branding, the, you know, putting together your team and getting very, you know, where this came from. And again, we all, you know, everybody loves money. Everybody wants to make money. But when you say that this started from, you know, as a dedication, it continues as a dedication to your late mother and sister, that, you know, that definitely is something that will have to think that will drive you beyond all of any type of struggle or you know, setbacks that you have in this process. So I definitely thank you for you know, sharing that, and look forward to having you on another time, and as you keep, you know, as you keep progressing in your journey as an entrepreneur.
Oh, most definitely, man. I'd love to come back. Thank you for inviting me. The next, like I said, next campaign coming around, I got you on the merch. And I just appreciate you giving me your platform to talk to your audience and give myself my brand some exposure. So thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem, AJ. Have a great rest of the evening.
Okay, you too. And we'll talk soon.
No question.
Okay, have a good night.
That of course is Adrian McDonald promoting, talking about his brand, his business, ACM, all calculated measures. You see the sweatshirt here. You see the sweatshirt. I've worn a t-shirt before as well. Now the t-shirt was worn on one of the podcasts a few weeks back when I actually had hair, as you see, you know, no more hair. But again, you know, all, you know, money is good. Money is good. Money can be great. But the bottom line is, when you do something, when you have a passion for something, money cannot be the main motivation to me to for you to reach your full potential at whatever you do. It just can't be. You heard from Adrian talking about the process, talking about he's giving away merchandise, more merchandise than the money that he's making. Talking about building relationships through the community, you know, going through out of his thank you, Brenda. That's very kind of you. That's kind of you to say. Talking about building through the community, you know, going to churches, going to neighborhoods, selling out the trunk. It's, you know, it's part of the struggle. It's part of the hustle. And Adrian is the, you know, did a tremendous job at explaining, you know, what he had to go through to, you know, to get to this point, to where he could sell these, you know, sell these sweatshirts and t-shirts. I think the most important part of it was just the act, you know, the place of where it's coming from in terms of, it's coming from the heart. You know, he dedicated, you know, to his, you know, dedicating it to his late sister and mother, that's something that you wake up with every day for the rest of your life. In terms, that's something that you can never get over. That, and that's something that is a passion, that is motivation that will be with him, you know, forever. So again, thanks to Adrian for joining the program. I hope to have him on in the future as he continues his journey as a business owner, and I'm looking forward to that. I want to make a transition real quick, because it was a lot going on this weekend in the world of sports and pop culture. I'll begin with the NBA. Golden State, Houston. Listen, I don't want to sit up here and have a whole soliloquy about the officiating. I frankly applaud the officials for not giving in to Harden and the rest of the Rockets for what they've been doing for the better part of the year. And that's basically playing mind games with the officials, and in particular James Harden, who's a ringleader of this, and drawing fouls that are just not fouls. It's gotten to a point to where we don't even know where is the safe landing spot for a jump shooter. Because when you got a guy who is kicking his legs out 2 feet beyond where he started his jump shot, what is a defensive player supposed to do? Again, I don't blame the officials at all for not making any of those calls. Houston had opportunities to win that game. Capella was terrible. P.J. Tucker was a minor factor. Harden, despite the 35 points, was 9-28, was not a major factor in the fourth quarter as far as I'm concerned. I thought Paul played well, minus the technical fouls, which, you know, 14 years in the league, you can't give it with Paul. But the Houston had opportunities to win that game. Period. Yeah, they had the chances. And, you know, to me, the difference in this series, besides talent, because Golden State, we know Golden State has the best talent in the league, especially at the top. But the difference in this series is mental. It's one team is mentally tougher than the other. Houston is so caught up in these, you know, the refs. They're coming out with reports about from 2018. Why are you still concerned about calls that were missed in the conference finals last year? They came out with this report that had 81 missed calls, according to them, and their analytics and all that nonsense that they had. 81 missed calls in that 7-game series against Golden State last year. So, to me, you're already creating a built-in excuse for your team moving forward. Focus on playing basketball. Focus on slowing down Kevin Durant, okay? Focus on getting a defensive rebound. Focus on that. Again, I don't want the officials and it's going to be an ongoing story. I don't want the officials to take away from some of their individual matchups and take away from the fact that, you know, this may be the last go around for Golden State as we know it in terms of this particular team. Take away from the individual brilliance of Kevin Durant, who, and I'll say this the better part of the last 2 years, is the best player in the world. You can let him, you can complain about what he says, it's in the media, how he goes back and forth in the media, some of his own complaining, but as far as his game goes, Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. Period. There is no debating, there's no discussion. He is the best player in the world right now. So, again, I think this series will still go 7. I think Houston will be hurt from. They're going to have a game where they make 18 or 20 threes. They're going to have a game where, you know, P.J. Tucker, you know, scores, you know, 20 points and knocks down 5 or 6 threes. They're going to have that type of game. They wasted a great performance by Eric Gordon. Again, that was a game that Houston could have won. Again, I applaud the officials for not falling to the James Harden shenanigans with the kick out, with the jumping into the defensive player. They'll get some of those calls in game 2. That's just the way how the NBA goes. But I think it's been a long drawn out series, and I still like Golden State in 7. Boston, as far as Boston Milwaukee, I don't want to overreact to one game. I thought Giannis I thought he panicked. I thought he forced a lot of stuff. They're not saying he didn't trust his teammates, but I thought he was forcing a lot of, forcing stuff that was not there. He has to give up the ball. Again, Milwaukee had a number of shots that they had a number of open shots. Because Boston was giving up open threes. Boston was like, we're not going to let you kill us in the paint. We're going to make your role players make jump shots, make three-point shots. So, from that standpoint, Milwaukee is one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league. In the league this year, they got some good shots. These are not forced three-point shots. They got some good shots that they missed. Obviously, they had to get more out of Bledsoe and Lopez. That goes without saying. I'm not worried about the Greek Freak. He'll come back. He has a lot of pride. He'll play. He's a great player. He'll play better. Not really concerned about him. Game two will tell you all you need to know about that series. Milwaukee goes down quiet in game two, then the series will be over. But I feel like Milwaukee will bounce back and have a double digit and win by double digits in game two tomorrow. As far as the weekend action, listen, Kawhi Leonard, this is the Kawhi Leonard that we saw before what transpired in San Antonio last year. This is a guy who, to me, probably, we are ranking the players, probably right now, is probably the third best player in the world. I would rank him, I would go Durant, Greek Freak, and Kawhi. I mean, you can even rank him as the second best player in the world, to be honest with you. You can go either Durant, Kawhi, Greek Freak, Curry, and, whoever, LeBron, Harden, everyone, whoever's in, a few people in that fifth spot. But this is cool, once he got that jump shot, offensively, it was game over. Like, there's no way to stop him. The guy can post up physically. He's got a 6'7", 230 pounds of muscle. He can get to where he wants to. He can get a shot anytime he wants. He plays under control. He's completely under control when he plays. Rarely do you see him get an out of control charge. Rarely do you see him. There's no wasted motion with Kawhi Leonard. None. And that jump shot right now is on automatic. Right now, Kawhi, look at his numbers in the postseason. The guy's shooting 58% from the field. And these are not just layups and dunks. These are shooting 51% from the three-point line, 58% overall. And, he has his team. Again, one of the reasons why I thought Toronto would get to the finals, you have a guy who wants the ball when the game's on the line, a guy who not afraid of the big moment. He's played in the finals twice, won the finals MVP back in 2014. That is a different level from what they had last year, from what they've had in past years in DeMar DeRozan. If you're Philadelphia, you cannot allow, it's one thing Kawhi to get 30, 35, 40. You cannot allow Siakam to get 29, 30 points. Siakam at 29, 7, and 7. You have to take Siakam away. You have to limit him. You can't allow that dude to get 25, 30 points. And Siakam has been great throughout the postseason. He has clearly established himself as their third best player. Toronto's in great shape if Kyle Lowry is their number three or number four. They're in great shape because in the past, Kyle Lowry had to be their number two. Kyle Lowry is your number three or fourth, your third or fourth best player. You have the opportunity to win two, compete for a championship. So we'll see what Philly is made of. Obviously, the game is going on right now. We'll see what they're made of for game two. Embiid, and I anticipate that he play. I can't see him, to not see him sitting out with a stomach illness. So I can't see him sitting out from that. Either way, this was going to be a tough matchup for Philadelphia. I like Toronto in six games. It might even go shorter than that. But you have Portland and Denver coming playing later tonight, and then you go with the NBA conference semifinals are in gear. Again, I still like Golden State and Toronto to be in the finals. I haven't seen anything that would change that. But again, you have teams like Houston, Milwaukee, and those teams certainly think they can make a run and get to a finals, possibly win a championship. I want to get to one last thing before I let you go here. So you had the Tyreek Hill situation come about late last week, Thursday into Friday, and you know the natural reaction was for people to take shots at him, the media to rip him, this, that, and third. I want to say this one thing: before you get to any prejudging or passing any judgment on what type of person or type of father or what type of spouse you think Tyreek Hill is, understand this. That audio that you heard that was leaked should have never came out at all. There has to be, I have to be allowed in 2019 to have a conversation within my own house with my family without worrying about it hitting Twitter or hitting the internet. I can't imagine. And how would you feel if your husband, wife, significant other, if that conversation, or just dinner, or you were just having dinner with some family, if that conversation leaked out and got out somehow. So before we even talk about what was said, we gotta begin with the idea that conversation got out, that audio got out. And again, this is not a Ray Rice. It's not Kareem Hunt. It's definitely not Ray Rice. Everything that was denied by Hill in that audio. We don't know definitively if he broke his son's arm. He's been accused by the girlfriend of that. We don't know that definitively. We don't. Now, if I had to guess, I would lean towards a 3-year-old child not lying on his dad. But again, that's a judgment call by me. There's no legitimate proof for that. But that goes beside the point. The bottom line is that audio. We should have never heard that audio. Never. So before, the NFL is going to do what the NFL does. They're going to do the pretend like we care move in terms of this non-exempt list until we can, gather some more information or look more into it. But that's just a move to, that is strictly for optics. That's just a move to make it seem like they, for public perception. That's what that is. The non-exempt list. Because all they had is her word against his. That's all you had. All their audio said was his word against hers. What gives her more credibility than him? But again, put that aside for a second. It's about the audio coming out. It's about that. It's about the audio. That audio should have never came out. Should have never came out. Let's go and wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, you can find this podcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can find it on my YouTube. The Real Deal Podcast. Tell me like it is. With no apologies. Thanks for listening.